But let's talk some cricket, because I think we all had a hell of a time watching the first test between England and India. Test 2 is just around the corner, and Andrew McGlashan from ESPN Quick Info has joined us to talk about that and a little bit more as well. G'day, Andrew.
Hi there, guys. How are you?
We're going very well, thank you. Can you tell us just initially the sentiment and the reaction from the public towards this series, particularly after the first test, but even leading into? Was it one that was anticipated fairly highly?
I think it was to a degree. It's kind of slightly hard to judge the cricket mood over here at the moment. I mean, probably all aware of the various things that are going on in English cricket in terms of the structure, this new tournament that they're talking about. There's a lot of talk about how engaged people are with cricket over here at the moment, but certainly that result itself helped get people talking about the game again. It was a fantastic 3 days and a session. People were starting to compare it to the test match in 2005, the Ashes test match in 2005, which is probably still the greatest test match England have been involved in. This one probably nips into the top 10 in some people's rankings, the one that's just taken place. So it was certainly a good time for England to be involved in a close test match, and especially good time from their point of view to win one. It's been a pretty up and down period of test cricket for them over the last few years, obviously some heavy defeats away from home, and their home form has been erratic over the last couple of seasons. So it was very important for them to get the first test under their belt, sort of settle a few nerves. They've got a reasonably new look side in some areas, so it was a crucial performance and a very encouraging one really to bowl an Indian side out when you're defending just 190, albeit even it is in home conditions. It's still a very fair effort. So there's plenty for England to be positive about after that game.
I think, Andrew, you make a good point. I'd like you to expand on a little bit about just the temperature in the room about where cricket is at the moment in England, because what a lot of people don't realise is that Test cricket's not on free-to-air television. So it's annoying people a little bit at the moment, because they're trying to grow the game through these new 100-ball games and T20 cricket through terrestrial television in the UK, but Test matches are sort of being left out of the equation.
Yeah, they are. I mean, I think it's easy to perhaps get carried away with some of the negative talk coming out. I mean, there's a suggestion that the ECB aren't themselves doing quite as much as they could to promote their own product, which is probably another debate. But, I mean, cricket is still very healthy in this country. The crowd numbers at our domestic T20 are good. Crowd numbers when England to play are good, albeit Edgbaston wasn't sold out. The test match just finished. That was partly put down to it starting on a Wednesday. They normally start on a Thursday over here. The Lord's test, which starts tomorrow, that as usual is sold out. So the test cricket is still reasonably healthy, but you're right, there's a massive debate going on about how many people can actually get eyeballs on it. So whereas that 2005 test I mentioned, that got a nation in front of their televisions, even if it was for just 2 or 3 hours to watch Flintoff try and get Brett Lee out, and then obviously Freddy consoled Lee. They became iconic images that went around the country. Now, the day after England won that test at Edgbaston, the players were on the front and back page of the newspapers. It's still there when England win. There is still that interest, but it's not quite front and centre of the public. We've just obviously around the world, there's just been very successful Football World Cup this year, obviously more successful for some countries than others. But over here, because England had a good tournament, reached the semis, you sense that vibe of the nation getting behind the team. And of course, the Football World Cup was on free-to-air over here. So there's a sense of people going down even in their living rooms or going down the pub and watching, or just going together with mates and watching it. Not quite sure where that still exists for cricket. Maybe it never did quite exist in the same way as football, but it's certainly a big debate over here. And to put it bluntly, there's no test cricket is not going back onto free-to-air in terms of live anytime soon. I'd be surprised if it ever does. There are still highlights on free-to-air, but of course that's just 45 minutes every night, which for a test match like Edgbaston doesn't feel quite enough.
Andrew, Virat Kohli aside, India all at sea with the swinging ball. Are they playing any tour matches? Have they played any tour matches before the test series? Have they got any coming up? Because if that continues to happen, they're going to be pretty short test matches.
Yeah, they are. The short answer is they've got no more tour matches between the test matches. It's 5 tests in 6 weeks, one of these modern schedules that barely give anyone a chance to breathe between matches. They had one tour match against Essex in the lead-up. It started off as a 4-day game, but India got together and decided that was in the middle of our very... Australians are going to laugh when talk about a heat wave, but it has been a warm summer over here, and It was hitting the mid-30s for at least 3 or 4 days in a row around London a couple of weeks ago, and the Indians suggested that was a bit too warm to play 4 days of cricket against Essex, so they put a day off the tour match, made it a three-day game, one of those silly 15-a-side games, which wasn't first class and the players don't really care much about. And lo and behold, as you say, apart from Virat Kohli, who's batting on a different planet to most players these days, their players just couldn't handle the moving ball. Whether they can correct that in 3 or 4 days between tests, we'll find out from Lords tomorrow. The ball may not do quite as much at Lords. Could be a slightly flatter pitch. But yes, you're right, if they don't come to grips with English conditions soon, pretty if they lose Lords, they're 2-0 after two tests with three to play. Very hard to see India coming back from that. They have to at least avoid defeat at Lords, you'd think, to stay in this series.
Well, we talk about the swinging ball causing a bit of havoc. There was the selection of Adil Rashid, which caused a bit of havoc at the start of the series. Has it been vindicated? Are they justified? Are they happy with the selection? Or is there still a fair bit of negative reaction to that selection of Rashid?
The negative reaction, I think, has died down. I mean, I think England's victory was probably important in that respect. I mean, Rashid didn't have a massive role, but he kicked in at the moments that you'd probably want him to. He twice got a tail ender out with the googly, and you kind of, you know, the value of a wrist spinner against bowlers who can't pick the variations. He scored a couple of some useful runs in both innings, and I think the key for him, he didn't look overawed by the occasion. Some of the comments, and you can say criticism of selection, was basing a test match selection around one day cricket, where of course batsmen have to come after the bowlers, the run rate's often going up, there's fielders on the boundary. Not that there's no pressure on bowlers in one-day cricket, there's a lot, but it's a different sort of pressure. Mm. In a test match, you can often be expected to win the test match yourself. Now, Adil wasn't put in that position in the game just gone because England's quick bowlers did so much of the damage, but when he was needed, and I mean, it was only a tail-ender, but that wicket on the fourth morning to get Ishant Sharma out when India needed 40, that will have done him a world of good. It did Joe Root good as captain. It was a good captaincy call. So I think little things like that just probably dampen down the criticism. If Rashid has a bad day or a bad test, no doubt it will bubble back to the surface. But the quite strong criticism there was for a week has seems to have moved on a little bit now.
Andrew McGlashan from ESPN Cricket Info has joined us on The Breakfast Club.
The other big talking point, Andrew, is obviously Ben Stokes. And he was brilliant on that final day. He got Kohli and then it sort of set off a bit of a sort of a domino effect. And they won the test match, 4 wickets on that final day. Then 2 days later, he's in court. How's that all playing out? What was the feeling? Should have he played that first test match? And what's happening now at the moment with him?
Yeah, I mean, there's sort of two parallel cricket stories going on over here at the moment. There's the build-up to a Lord's test match, and there's a trial going on at Bristol Crown Court with Ben Stokes charged with a fray. I mean, it was kind of expected Ben Stokes to have a say on that test match when he played it, because everyone knew what was coming up. You know, the sort of cricketer that he is, he'll see the moment. And when it got tight and when Joe Root threw him the ball, it was probably in his favour that he was going to do something. And I think he spoke afterwards and said how much it meant to him and all those sorts of things. The debate about whether he should or shouldn't have played, kind of a couple of weeks ago, Joe Root and Trevor Bayliss, the coach, were asked this, and they were almost amazed that people were considering should one of England's best players be left out when he was actually available for the test match. Now, as it was, the test match finished a day early, so everyone had a bit more time to take stock before things got underway in Bristol. So, I mean, it's overshadowed the build for this test, without a doubt. They are obviously quite distinct stories, and they, for obvious reasons, the stories don't overlap massively, but I mean, it's going to be interesting to see how England cope without Ben Stokes in this second test coming up. They've got a couple of players lined up to try and replace him, and I guess that shows how big a hole he leaves in that England. You always need two cricketers to replace Ben Stokes in that side. We'll see whether it's Moeen Ali or Chris Wokes that gets the nod tomorrow over here. But they are going to miss his game-changing impact with the ball, and then we'll see how things transpire in Bristol. What happens in the near future regarding that?
Tell us about Ollie Pope, the 20-year-old who looks like he's going to be debuting in this test match. It looks like he would come in at number 4. Tell us about this young fella.
Yeah, I mean, a very rapid rise, some of which has happened down under. He played great cricket with considerable success in your last summer, and our winter in and around the Sydney area was very well received and got big raps for his performances. But it's really been this season for Surrey. He's averaging 63 in the Championship. He's one of a clutch of upcoming bats from England have. Another one called Joe Clark. It was him and Pope fighting out for this call when the selectors decided to drop Milan. And it's quite an un-English thing to do. I mean, they've obviously picked a few young players in the last few Test matches. Sam Curran, who was man of the match at Edgbath, and Don Best, the spinner, was selected as well. Mason Crane, the leg spinner, made his debut at the end of the Ashes. But it's very rare for England to pluck out a young batsman like this and throw them in, basically his first full season of county cricket. And he's not batted at number four for Surrey. It's going to be in England, say England are batting first tomorrow morning at Lord's, and they're 10 for 2 and Ollie Pope is walking out through the long room. It's going to be a heck of a challenge for him. But the selectors clearly see something. He's very highly rated. He's been talked about through this season as a possible England player. I do think the call has probably come a bit earlier than many people thought, but he's a guy in form. He's averaging, as I say, averaging 63, good 300 or 400 this season. And there's a confidence among this group of young England players. Now, you saw it in Sam Curran last week. You sense that Ollie Pope's a similar cricketer from the same county, Surrey. They do breed him well at Surrey in terms of bringing young players. So it's going to be fascinating. He'll be facing a good attack, and it'll be really interesting to see how he goes.
Andrew, you've mentioned the Lord's Test obviously being the next game. Is it still a special? We think here that the Boxing Day Test is obviously the pinnacle in our cricket calendar. Is that still the pinnacle for cricketers over in England?
Yeah, I think it is. Both home and away cricketers. I mean, England get to play there at the moment in Test matches twice a season, so they get to experience it a lot. But you just have to see how the players go about it on social media in the week up to the game, how they talk about it. Everything's a little bit ramped up, just the experience, the kind of the history of it. And of course, for the visiting side, it might be for some of these players, might only get one or two goes at it. I mean, someone as brilliant as Sachin Tendulkar, for example, never scored 100 at Lord, never got his name on the famous honours board inside the dressing room. Virat Kohli will be trying to go one better than that when he comes out to bat over the next few days. It's actually not been a very happy hunting ground for England against opposition from the subcontinent in recent years. They've not won in their last five attempts against the likes of India, Sri Lanka and Pakistan. So that bodes well for India. And sometimes it can be a flatter pitch at Lord's, and England tend not to play quite as well on the flatter surfaces. They like a little bit in the pitch, like there was at Edgbaston. And so it'll be interesting to see. There's talk about India playing a couple of spinners, so it could be that conditions favour them. But just the whole week is still very special. I don't think the Lord's experience will ever dampen down a bit, like you say, you guys in Boxing Day. I mean, maybe for the fans, they know it comes around every year, but for the players, it might be their once-in-a-lifetime experience.
Well, we're looking forward to seeing it in action tonight. I think it is our time for the second test between England and India. We really appreciate your insight, Andrew. Much appreciated. Have a great day. Have a great test match. We'll chat soon.
No worries, guys. Good to talk.
Good stuff. Andrew McGlashan from ESPN Quick Info. A bit of a preview for the situation.